With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning and welcome in. Grant and Danny with you on this Tuesday on 106.7 The Fan. There will be a Game 5. The Nationals are still playing baseball after last night's dramatic Game 4 win. Meanwhile, at Redskins Park, Bill Callahan has taken over as head coach, and he has vowed to run the ball more. So that should solve their problems.
We're good, guys. We got it.
No Dwayne Haskins.
We're all set.
Everything is fine.
Ship has been righted. Course correction.
So I looked long and hard, and what I found out was we're not running the ball enough. That'll do it.
The 2.7 yard per carry Adrian Peterson, get ready to ride that train. That'll be fun. What's your favorite part about second and nine?
Haskins not being elevated to the starting role, while maybe surprising, is probably also the right decision, but it does speak to Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, listening to the many people in the building, in addition to Jay Gruden for many weeks, telling them that Dwayne Haskins was not ready. So we can get into the Redskins as we multitask today. Evgeny Kuznetsov's 3-game suspension is over. He makes his Caps debut tonight. We'll cover that as well. But we got to start with the Nats, don't we? 6-1 winners. Out hit the Dodgers 10-5 with their season on the line last night. Max Scherzer was exceptional. He allowed a solo home run in the first. He's good for one of those at this point, that early home run allowed.
It's Justin Turner, man. I mean, if the fate of the world was on the line, and we didn't know it, and it was, if Justin Turner gets a hit against the Nationals, the world's saved, we'd be sleeping soundly.
Everybody's
that guy kills
gonna be
us.
Okay. 7 innings of 4-hit, 1-run ball for Scherzer. He threw 6 shutout after the solo homer to Turner in the first inning, struck out 7, and I think maybe the most memorable, most epic part of his outing came, in fact, as he was emptying the tank, as is usually the case with Scherzer, in the 7th inning against the Dodgers. Corey Seager flew out, Matt Beattie got a base hit, and then Gavin Lux walked. So Scherzer goes back to work against Will Smith, and he loses command of his fastball completely and walks a second straight batter. So now there is one out, and the bases are loaded. And you've got a pinch hitter, Chris Taylor, who's good, coming to the plate. And after that, Jock Peterson on deck. So Chris Taylor strikes out swinging on a 2-2 pitch, 2 outs, great slider. That sequence, by the way, an 8-pitch at bat, was almost all sliders, including 4 consecutive at 85 miles an hour to end the AB. 2 down, bases loaded. Then Davey Martinez had a big decision to make there in the 7th. Scherzer's well over 100 pitches. He's running on fumes. He wants to finish, but he's always going to want to finish. He could go after Jock Peterson, or you could go get Sean Doolittle, who's ready in the bullpen, and everybody says we'll go left on left. But when you summon Doolittle, the Dave Roberts move, chess match here, would then be to get Kike Hernandez, who pummels lefties. So basically, do you want Scherzer almost out of gas against a guy with a lot of power and the bases loaded in Jock Peterson? Or do you want Doolittle versus Kike Hernandez, who owns left-handed pitching? Davey rides with his ace Scherzer, and on the second pitch in an 0-1 count, a little tapper to the right side, Max Scherzer was out of it, and he was screaming like he just won the World Series.
And it was fantastic. Now, just to show you, we look back and we go, ended up being the right call, right? It gets Peterson out. It was, what would you say, an inch and a half? Maybe 2 inches most from being the, quote, wrong call, right?
That 2 inches feels a little bit aggressive.
It was very tight, that foul ball down the line, that first pitch. So it's just how razor thin the margin is against the team as good as the Dodgers. They've always got an answer. You've got to be perfect. And Scherzer was great. Wiggled out of trouble in the second inning as well with his first strikeout of the game over Rich Hill. He was awesome, and he was pitch efficient early, which gave him the chance to go deep in the game. They had to have that. Because here's what we're doing before the game. You and I are on the field. We're going, here's the roadmap. The Dodgers, any one of 12 options is fine tonight. I mean, it's a little bit hyperbolic. Any one of 7 or 8 options for their pitching staff is fine. They're all rested, ready to go.
Kent Maeda's very good. Dustin May is unhittable. Yeah, they'll be okay.
Maeda is filthy, by the way, against right-handed hitters. That is a weapon that I'm hoping that Dave Roberts decides not to employ. But, so you go, they can do whatever they want. They're rested, ready to go. For the Nationals, there are 3 guys that can throw tonight. You got to get 27 outs from Scherzer, Doolittle, and Hudson, and that's the list, and that's how it happened. It had the big key to that is Scherzer going more than 5 or 6.
Well, he needed 21 outs from him.
He had to get through 7 innings, and he knew that.
Do people know, though, what it must be like to take the mound in a playoff game against the best lineup in the National League and a team that won 106 games, knowing you've got to go 7 innings and you can't allow more than a couple of runs?
Good luck.
For Scherzer to have done what he did, knowing going in, I got no bullpen, there's no net. Now, he is walking the tightrope 800 feet up. He's like Robin in Batman Forever. This dude is trying not to fall off this rope, knowing if he does, it's curtains. He's got no margin for error. Solo home run at the beginning of the game, and now you can't probably give up another run after that. Because he hung 2 straight zeros, the Nats were able to get even and tie it at 1 in the 3rd. And then in the 5th, that's when Nats Park became frenzied. Look, they didn't sell out last night. That was disappointing to me, to be completely honest with you. The start time of the game hurt. 6:45 made it difficult. There was not the same energy and pizzazz you and I talked about on our pregame show before the game. And even early in the game, while it was very loud and the fans that were there did a great job, it was not on the level of the wild card game where you and I talked about being one of the best atmospheres we've ever been in. Wasn't even really on the level, not surprisingly because it was a weekend, of Sunday Night Baseball, Game 3 of the Division Series. By the end of the game, though, the crowd was raucous, and we were right back to some of those pre-Game 4 levels. And a lot of that turned with 2 things. One, it rained, and I think it loosened people up. It really seemed like there was more energy, and with the rain falling and people getting lively, I think that was a factor. Second, Ryan Zimmerman brought the rain with a home run that was about 600 feet off the ground at one point. It was the highest pitch hit for a homer by a National this season, 3.76 feet off the ground, and he hit the ball over top of the ballpark to come down in dead center.
The right-hander kicks, delivers, Zim swings and drives one in deep center field. Way back goes Bellinger to the warning track, to the wall. It is gone! Goodbye! Bang! Zoom goes Zimmerman! It's a 3-run home run for the Z-Man! It's the Nationals 5 and the Dodgers 1! Bang! Zoom go the fireworks!
How about Zim, a part-time player who's coming off the bench now? He had the big jam shot in the comeback 8th inning against the Brewers in the wild card game. He had a huge tack-on run to make a 3-2 lead 4-2 with a double and then scored out in L.A. in Game 2. And then last night delivered the huge blow with the home run and the 3 driven in to bust the game wide open for the Nationals. He's 3-for-9 this postseason. He's a .306 career playoff hitter now. 22-for-72 at the plate. He might be the Nats. He is the Nats' best playoff hitter ever organizationally. And Danny, the longest tenured National and perhaps his final at-bat at home, hits a home run and gets a curtain call at Nats Park in the middle of innings last night.
Just so cool. Couple things on that. The wind, if you're watching at home, the rains came and the temperature dropped precipitously.
Yeah.
It, maybe 10 degrees. Would you say you were in the ballpark? 10, 12
yeah,
degrees?
Yeah, I was out in the crowd. I think it went from 80 to 70, something like that.
So they closed the windows in the press box to let you know how cold it was up there. The wind was really gusting up top, high in the ballpark, right? Coming straight in from left center field. And it was a factor throughout the rest of the game. Max Muncy hit a ball that absolutely earlier in the day would have been gone. Trey Turner's ball that fell in front of Bellinger in center field would have hit the base of the wall. Would have been well over his head, a line shot, it fell short.
How about the Cody Bellinger drive that stayed in the yard in deep right center? off the bat, it looked like it was going to be 20 feet over the fence.
I misspoke. I said Muncy.
No,
I meant to say Bellinger.
Had one too.
Muncy had a set.
Both of them hit a ball on the screws.
Oh, that's right. Bellinger had a, that's right, to right center.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Got a little convoluted there. Yes, both, all those balls may have had a chance, which ended up working out beautifully for the Nats. Despite all that, Zimmerman crushed that ball, cut it through all that crap, and got it out to center field.
Yeah.
You had to murder a baseball to do what he did, and that's what happened. Previously 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts against Baez, has never seen him well, took a 97-mile-an-hour fastball shoulder high out to dead center field. I believe I've got this right, and tell me if you had read a different stat. That's the highest ball hit for a home run in Nationals history in terms of pitched balls.
Yeah, I saw this season it was the highest one that they've ever hit. Now, I all time, I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Maybe this season. Well, the point is that that shouldn't have happened. 97, shoulder high against a guy that Zimmerman has never seen hit well. He's got great numbers against Rich Hill, struck out twice. Of course, he homered a dead center off Baez.
I've said a couple times I'm not really a slogan guy. I don't get into the hashtags that are on T-shirts and stuff. But there is no more apt, better slogan ever for a team than stay in the fight with this Nationals group. Down 1-0 in this series, 1-1. Down 2-1 in this series, 2-2. Of course it's going to come down to a Game 5. Nobody dies harder than the 2019 Nationals. Now they got it. Their work cut out for them again. Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw is going to be pitching in relief. I'm not really sure how you do it. On paper, it doesn't look great. But what about this season after your 19-31 has? Let's get to this next. Why did they win? Who gets the credit? How'd they pull it off? We'll open up the phones for you guys. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
There is no offseason, not at the St. James, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia. There is something for everyone. They offer training, instruction, and competitive leagues and teams for more than 20 sports. Registration's open, right? Get yourself there. Whether you, your kids, whatever you want to do, they got it. Rec sports, series sports, travel teams, the whole nine yards, right? There's middle school leagues, competitive basketball leagues, and then think of more than 20 sports. If you play it, they got it. They got expert instructors coaching their teams and leading training for more than 20 sports, as I mentioned, right? A former U.S. men's national team member is one of the soccer coaches. It's a pretty big deal. Not just like your dad, not like a neighborhood dad who's like, kick it forward, gang. He played for the U.S. national team. That's a big deal. Kids can also play in the Active Entertainment Center, climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, a ropes course, and a massive water park. Perfect place to host a birthday party. With so much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Throttled in Game 3, the Nationals responded 6-1 winners at home in Game 4 last night. There will be a Game 5 NLDS action. Doesn't go past that. The series has gone as long as it can, and so we'll know. Either the Nationals are moving on to the League Championship Series for the first time in franchise history, and we're having a bit of a party on Thursday, or for the fifth time in 5 playoff appearances, and for the fourth time in those 5 series, the Nationals will be eliminated in round 1 in a Game 5. We're Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get into Bruce Allen saying the Redskins culture is actually, and I quote, damn good, coming up at 10:30 at the bottom of the hour, because that was a fun quote that came out of his press conference.
I think so. That's the way to describe it.
But, Danny, let's go back through some of the specifics of last night at Nationals Park. Just a few of the individual efforts that made last night possible, and then I want to crown kind of whoever gets your game ball. We can rank the participants in the order that they were most important. Scherzer goes 4-hit, 1-run through 7. Doesn't get a whole lot bigger than his 7 strikeouts. Sean Doolittle came in after him, retired all four of the batters he faced. You mentioned he got some help from the wind and the weather later in that game after the rain. He, in fact, this was a cool moment. I don't know if you saw this. Walking off the mound and leaving the field, walking toward the dugout, cameras were showing him on the big screen. And he was getting serenaded a third of the way through the ninth inning because he pitched the eighth, started the ninth to get a lefty. Hudson came in for the last two outs. Doolittle was walking off the mound, and he couldn't help. You never really see this with professional athletes. He was kind of overcome with joy or whatever, and he just started smirking like ear to ear, and he was trying to hold it back, but he couldn't be a quote-unquote cool customer. I think the moment got to him. He's been through so much this year,
yeah.
And 30,000 people are screaming up, doing at him,
yeah.
And he was just he had a big smirk.
So I couldn't catch that from the press box, so that's a good nugget by you. Good for him, honestly. It's good to see. I mean, listen, the ball Muncy hit off him probably would have gone out, and it would have been the second time this series that Muncy's taken him deep. But
and even still, then it's 6-2. You're up by four runs. Challenge him. I don't want you walking dudes. Go up there, throw pitches. If you give up a solo home run to Max Muncy, so be it.
And that's where I was going is, yes, man, you come downhill at people. The velocity was playing. He mixed a little bit more than you used to seeing.
First pitch slider?
I thought so.
I'm going to look that up now.
I think he did.
I was sitting in an area where I could get a decent feel for what was being thrown, and it looked like to Muncy he started him off with a – yeah, it was.
I think he did, yeah.
No, he went 95 fastball first. He came back after that with the slider.
Okay. So, but you saw a little bit more pitch mix, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you can't leave those over the dish because those are not plus pitches for a major league pitcher. They're show-me's. Just to say you got another look to kind of come off of it, but it's that 95 that explodes when he's right, and I think he was right yesterday. Again, I don't know if he's the lockdown closer. I think that's Hudson's job to be the closer at this point.
But you're going to get valuable outs from him. Protecting a one-run lead right now.
Nor I.
And honestly, maybe that's just the playoffs and the track record, right, in the sense that like Hudson's been really good. I don't necessarily feel great about Hudson protecting a one-run lead right now. But those are the two guys in your bullpen, there are only two, that you get to use in any of these upcoming games. We'll get into Game 5, and we can dig deep on this in a second, but I will just throw one thing out there. I don't think the chance is 0%. I'd say it's non-zero. It's higher than that, that we could see Scherzer for an out or two in Game 5.
I know what he said after the game.
What did he say exactly?
There's no way my arm is hanging. Gamesmanship. There was no way Clayton Kershaw was going to throw. And then he did.
I would bet against it. I don't think it would be prudent or make a lot of sense. All I'm saying is, in 2016, you mentioned Kershaw. He threw 7 innings in Game 4, just like Max did. And after one day of rest, he came back and he got the last two outs of the division series for the Dodgers. Now, it's a little bit different. I mean, he's not a guy that's redlining and throwing 99 like Scherzer is, and it feels more max effort. I've never heard Clayton Kershaw grunt like Serena Williams when he throws a pitch. So maybe Max won't be available. In fact, I'm sure he won't be. But I guess what I'm saying is while it's a minuscule chance, it would be one of the crazier things in Nats history. And it's probably not non-zero. I wouldn't rule anything out at this point. A couple other performances, though. Everyone talked about the 3-run home run from Zimmerman. I thought Anthony Rendon was great. You know, he had was under the weather, was sick, had some type of bug not long ago when the playoffs started. He's much more locked in now. 2 sacrifice flies and an RBI base hit.
Both were hit really well, by the way, both sac flies.
He almost hit 2 bombs.
Again, the guys have kind of talked about this quietly. They're saying the ball isn't traveling like it was in the regular season. Part of that may be changing the weather, but maybe there's also something to that. That ball that he hit with the bases loaded and one out, I thought was gone off the bat. It looked like it was center cut. He hit it well. That looked like one of those vintage Anthony Rendon home runs, and it fell just short. Sac fly. The one he hit later, up against the wall for Bellinger. Again, different weather. That's a home run.
3 hits, 2 runs in the leadoff spot for Trey Turner. We say this all the time. When he goes, this lineup goes. He doesn't have 3 hits, and you don't score a run in the game, mm-hmm. In other words. He's got too much speed. He's too much of a catalyst on base. So that, to me, was the biggest reason why the Nats lineup got going. Howie Kendrick, in even-numbered games in this series, has been great.
Yeah.
Bounced back from Game 1 with a huge Game 2. Bounced back from his base-running blunder in Game 3 last night. And then Michael Taylor, who's filling in for Victor Robles, was on base 3 times yesterday. Really impressive game for him.
What a godsend that Taylor's been. I mean, again, he started another rally with a walk, right?
How about Michael Taylor in the playoffs?
Spring training Michael Taylor, playoff Michael Taylor. Sign me up, bro.
The best versions. Regular Seriously. Season Michael Taylor, we could just skip. Just get past that. But he seems to respond well in the playoffs. All right, give me your guy real quick, your game ball. Who does it go to?
It's too easy. It's Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
It's because people are just going to go, oh, he pitched really well. Thank you very much, Tommy. He pitched really well. You know, the bats gave him 6 runs. That was kind of the story. People need to understand. Going through that lineup is a buzzsaw.
Yes,
that
is
a really, really, really good lineup. To be able to walk the line between making sure you get people out, which is really hard consistently at this level, and also not going too hard, being able to pace yourself. So Scherzer did that, didn't strike out anybody the first time through the order until he got to the pitcher spot, until he finally struck out his opposite number, Rich Hill. That was just so grown up. Managing that effort, managing the energy, managing the adrenaline, and also making sure you're able to go deep in the game. They had to have it exactly that way.
I'll go Ryan Zimmerman for my game ball. The home run he hit brought the ballpark to its feet, and nobody sat down after that for the next 4 innings. And it was also just from a romantic standpoint. You love baseball, you love sports. You can't write that script any better for
so
that
great.
Guy who's been here that long in that spot with the season and all the injuries over the last several years that he's been through. Next on Grant and Danny, we'll pivot to the Redskins. Bruce Allen says the culture is damn good. Plus, we launch Redskins Survivor. You can vote today on Facebook at facebook.com/Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Home to give a player immunity. We do it after each and every game. Case Keenum, Paul Richardson, Trey Quinn, Morgan Moses, Chris Thompson, still available. Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Ryan Kerrigan, Montez Sweat, Landon Collins, Quentin Dunbar, John Bostic, and Dustin Hopkins are your options. Go to facebook.com/Grant and Danny for a little Redskins Survivor on G&D. Bruce Allen said the culture was not only not bad, but in fact, good yesterday. He spoke to the media. This might be the answer that you hear the most in the months ahead.
You know, the culture is actually damn good. These people care. We have a very young core of players that we have brought in here who are accustomed to winning. If you look at the record of these guys, they're accustomed to winning. They want to win. In free agency, we brought Landon Collins. A great leader, great player, wants to win. We haven't put it together. We've made too many mistakes on game day. But the effort of the players and the rest of this organization is fantastic. Doug Williams, his hours, if you want to check his time card, working all the time. Our scouts on the road, working all the time, and they're trying to find the right formula for success. These players have the ability, and we just have to execute it.
Bruce Allen at different times yesterday said that they have the talent, the players have the ability, there's plenty of pieces. He also said that they outwork the other teams, that the work is there and everyone's putting in the time that they need to. You want to see what time Doug Williams gets here? Check his time card.
I'd love to see that time card.
So if you're outworking everyone and you have more talent and your culture's damn good, how are you 0-5?
Yeah. You're also among the oldest teams in the league, by the way.
Something's missing, though, right? Yeah. I mean, if you have the talent and you're working harder than everybody else, and that's all happening in a culture that is damn good. What's missing?
Yeah, something is missing. And again, just the little things that he just says that he expects not to be called out on. He talked about the core of young players. And there are some young players on the team, obviously, that are impactful. But they're among the oldest teams in the NFL. They're in the league with teams like the Patriots, who are one of the oldest teams. But they're going to win the Super Bowl or have a great chance to do so. You saw what it's supposed to look like. If you've got a group of veterans, you better be good. If you don't, you're a disaster. Miami's the youngest team in the league. That stands to reason, right? They're in the middle of a rebuild. You're not. Maybe you're going to start trying to do so. But anyway, when he stands up there, and again, it insults the intelligence of Redskins fans and the media and everybody else by giving non-answers, He's attempting to do the thing that he's done so many times before. He's dipping into his same playbook. The Redskins have their playbook, right? Which is, for years, it was dip into nostalgia. Remember that time in the 80s when we were great? We're going to sell you on the memories. We'll trot out, you know, name that 80s player for a halftime celebration. Everyone will be very excited. We'll buy some more jerseys. We'll sell you some hope. Well, people got tired of getting burned on that. So, you know, the fan interest waned. Bruce Allen's playbook over the years is to find a bad guy, blame that guy, and tell you how much we care. People bought it at various times when he gave that fiery quasi-press conference about Kirk Cousins, about how greedy he was trying to turn the fan base against the guy that he also wanted to go lead his football team, by the way. Good luck with that. It's a great recipe. He's done that many times before. Nobody's buying it anymore. Nobody. Nobody can sit there and listen to that guy, that liar, that backstabbing liar, stand in front of you, spew his convoluted nonsense and double talk about how we're all judged by our record, but don't judge us by our record because we're trying hard. Just insulting people at this point. And people are tired of it and they're over it. I can't believe that they're either not, when I say they, it really is Dan Snyder. They're not reacting to that. He's not reacting to that appropriately, or he doesn't see. It's got to be one of the two, right? So frustrating.
It's maddening. Here's what I don't know is, you know, I almost would rather not pick all of his words apart and bash him, because then he goes back into his cave and he doesn't talk for years on end. What's worse, him talking or him not talking, right? I mean, that's really the great question. And the answer is him not talking. He has an obligation to represent for his fan base. He has an obligation to speak to you guys through the media, the conduits, for you to have your voices heard. He has to explain what they're doing. Dan Snyder should be doing the same thing. In fact, maybe my favorite question of that entire press conference came from Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. And he asked about Dan Snyder. Here this was yesterday in Ashburn. I loved this.
Why is Dan Snyder not addressing the fans today?
Because I am.
Will there be an opportunity to talk to Dan about the franchise that he owns at some point?
Yeah, Dan's makes himself available from time to time.
No, he doesn't.
Not once.
What are you talking about?
When?
I covered that beat for 4 years every single day. I was at every practice. I was at the park more than I was at my house. I never got to interview Dan Snyder. Not once. He doesn't make himself available. Now, if you're saying he occasionally goes to a local high school and, you know, donates something, okay, he's done that. If you're saying he gives some book bags away at the beginning of school or he hands out some turkeys, fine. He doesn't take questions from the media when he does that. Again, don't lie to me. Don't insult my intelligence.
It's the lying.
And that's, to me, the frustration. Just say the first part, because I'm doing it. Because that's true. You are the shield for Dan Snyder from this fan base. That's why you still have a job. It's why you will have a job for a long time, because at one point in time, Vinny Serrato was the guy that everyone directed their hatred and anger to, and now you've become that person. You're very well paid to deflect attention. So say it's because I am, but don't say he'll be available. Come on. We're all smarter.
From time to time. What does that mean? Once every 20 years?
Well, I guess by definition, he's right, because maybe he will speak every 15 or so years.
From time to time, I'm in great shape, Grant.
That's right.
In high school, I didn't have much body fat. From time to time.
And it could happen again?
It's happened before. Who are you to say that it won't happen again? Who are you to say? Unreal.
What did you make, though, of the idea of the culture being good, of having enough talent? Now, to me, what I really took out of yesterday afternoon's press conference was Jay Gruden was the problem here.
That's what he's trying to do.
We got Bill Callahan now. Problem solved. We hired Bill Callahan and promoted him as the interim head coach. He's going to outwork and outwit and outplay. Redskin survivor style. Jay Gruden is why the team was 0-5. If Alex Smith didn't get hurt, all this wouldn't be happening. By the way, I cannot wait to talk about the fact that we're not going to trade Trent Williams. That was another thing that I took out of that.
Oh, my God.
And the culture is good. Oh, sorry. Damn good.
Damn good.
Casual dams all over the place.
I'm just one of you guys. I'm just up here spitballing. Right?
Just another guy at his job today rolling up his sleeves.
I'm lucky because
the culture is actually damn good.
Is it?
I'm one of you guys, man. I'm one of you guys. I'm a Redskins fan who's lucky enough to be here in the front office.
Remember.
And God willing, we'll outwork everybody and guts and hope and eye contact and shaking hands. And we'll do it, man. We got this.
Remember the reason there were a lot of Patriots fans at FedEx Field this weekend.
Oh, this one's good.
Because you guys.
You.
Sold your tickets on the secondary market to try to make a buck.
We can't control that.
Not because the team's terrible. You guys sold your tickets on the secondary market. Try to make some cash. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan. Your calls are next. 800-636-1067. Your thoughts on what Bruce Allen said. Look, here's my question I want answered. Do the Redskins know that their culture is bad and Bruce Allen just said that because it sounded good? Or do you think he really and Dan Snyder really believes they've got a winning culture and that it's the coach or it's something else? But they have put in place a culture that would allow people to succeed in a football operation. That's the question on G&D. Dan Colco on the Nats at 11 o'clock here on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why would you trade an asset that could get you potentially a first-round pick or certainly a couple of early to mid-round picks back when you're 0-5 and when he's only got 2 years left on his contract? Why wouldn't you just allow him to continue to not show up for work and hate your guts?
Can I pull back the curtain just a hair?
As far back as you'd like.
Here we go. This little fourth wall breakage, all right? We're in this room together listening to that press conference. We're taking notes. We're pulling out clips. We're doing all the things that you would expect us to do. We listen to it just like you guys. When Bruce Allen gave that answer, Grant let loose a primal scream. I don't mean like, ah, man, what's he doing? I mean, I've never heard you yell like that.
I don't even know why I reacted like that.
You were so frustrated. Here's what it sounded like. One of two things just happened. You're a caveman and a saber-toothed tiger just took out your betrothed. And you have no choice, and you like have to know, you're knowing you have to live the rest of your life alone in this cave.
Right.
Or B, Bruce Allen just gave the most obstinate, stubborn, idiotic, pointless, futile answer in the history of gestures.
I can only tell you that when I screamed the way I did, and I don't really know why I did, it was a random reaction. You ever screamed so loud that the literal saying seeing stars comes from when those little
absolutely
like specks of light are like matriculating all over because you just like strained your head too much?
100% I've done that a million
that
times.
That happened to me yesterday.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Got dizzy.
How is it possible that at 0-5, headed for a top three pick, desperately now needing pieces, assets, talent, draft picks. You have been hit in the face with a brick. You did everything you could to avoid. And that brick, if you pick it up and read it, is painted on the front. It says, rebuild.
Time to move on.
And you've got a guy who's refusing to work for you, who's a seven-time Pro Bowler, who could end up being a Hall of Famer, who a lot of other teams would benefit from and would give you something for. If he doesn't show up for work at all this year, and you can trade him this offseason with 2 years left on his deal, it might still work out that you do okay. But anybody who has any semblance of knowledge of the NFL operation who's around Trent Williams is going to tell him, show up the last day before you lose a season. Because otherwise, the Redskins have property of you for two more years. So if he just waits and shows up on the last day, he only has 1 year left on his deal. You just lost so much value. You're selling a house at the worst possible time.
And this is what he's concerned with.
He's
concerned with winning some kind of argument instead of what's best for the team.
I keep saying I don't get why he's doing it. I get why he's doing it. I know why he's doing it. Because they want to win this game of chicken. And that is not what's important here.
I want to win football games. Maybe,
right.
Maybe I'm crazy. But so he's not going to do that. Which leads us to that question. Again, I keep going back to this. Is it ignorance or arrogance? It leads me to believe that it's arrogance. Because having that stance has nothing to do with winning football games. It has nothing to do with you know, being a team that's consistently excellent, that wins 10, 11, 12 games a few years in a row, that has a chance to really compete for something, not scraps from the table, but be actually legitimately good, to not embarrass yourself in prime time. They got a long way to go before then. This is about winning little tiny arguments, winning little things, making sure that everyone knows that Jay Gruden is incompetent, probably leaking a video to TMZ or whatever the hell it was, just to make sure we all know that he couldn't do it, leaking a story to the Washington Post to let you know that Scott McLuhan was so drunk it was this bad. We need to make sure we get all the credit for going 8-7-1. Congratulations on that, by the way. When is the parade? I'll be right there. Loser. You are a loser, Bruce Allen. That's what losers do.
Let's go to Ryan and Chantilly on the fan. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
What's
up, the Trent Williams thing is, I mean, that's nothing short of malpractice. It's outrageous. I mean, we're not going anywhere. You know, if we were a good program, a good team, then I would be fine with, yeah, just let him rot and just out of spite. But this is malpractice. And the other thing yesterday in his talk, kind of the most damning thing was when he said, you know, we're making too many mistakes. And you're like, okay, all right, well, we're getting somewhere. And then he catches himself and he goes, on the field. Just
right.
Then I just hung my head and I was just like, it is as bad as everyone's saying. I've tried to hold out, but it's terrible.
Well, and that brings you back to, again, he's either putting on this face that everything is fine culturally and in the building, or he really believes it. And if he really believes it, I think it's important and pertinent to find out, because then you have no chance. I mean, there's just no denying that. Gary's in Woodbridge. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, bud?
Comments on Dan Snyder has no football legacy in Washington, and his only shot at one is to land a stadium deal with D.C. Allen's his conduit to get that done. And as long as that's a possibility, Allen stays in Ashburn. Snyder needs the intestinal fortitude to move Allen aside and bring in a football guy to run the organization. Why he doesn't do that for the sake of the team and the fans is beyond me. But
us too.
That's why I see Allen where he is.
Well, it tells me that, again, we'll come back to the same big picture question here, philosophically. Either Dan Snyder has no understanding of how the fans, really, no disrespect to fans, it doesn't matter what they think, but like how the organization is viewed and how Bruce Allen is viewed, or he doesn't care. It's one of those two things that we kind of keep coming back to. But the one thing I would say about Dan Snyder is everyone always talks about, oh, he wants to win so bad. The guys that know him, we had Joe Theismann on yesterday, that are friends with him. You guys don't know how much this eats him up. Does it eat him up enough to get rid of Bruce Allen?
Is it even enough to make any adjustments over 20 years? The answer is no. So,
does he want to win so badly that he'll hire a football general manager and let that guy work for more than 2 years for the first time ever? Because he's never done that.
Yeah, there's
how badly does he want it?
There's like to do it and have to do it. I would like to lose weight. I had 6 cookies this morning. 6 bleeping cookies that Brendan's beautiful wife cooked for us. I ate 6.
6 cookies.
But it's killing me that I'm not losing weight. How bad did I want it? I could have not eaten any if I want to lose weight. I ate 6 bleeping cookies because they're delicious. I might go get another one. I'm so pissed off. They're awesome. The bag is sitting right there. I'm going to have another one this commercial.
By the way, so many of those cookies are gone already. Normally, those cookies just sit there and like one or two disappears.
Cookies are amazing.
Mostly an empty bag of cookies, and it's 10:55 in the morning.
But I really want to lose weight. Prove it.
Dan Colco of Masson hosts the pre and the post shows ahead of Nats games. He joins us next to talk about a Game 4 win. The boys are on to L.A. They're staying in the fight. As Davey Martinez says, the series is gone as long as it can. Game 5 tomorrow night right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.